Hi, my name is David Feldman. I'm a licensed family and marriage therapist here out of Chicago. And today we're going to be talking on Twitter about unconditional love or mutual giving and receiving. I can be found at my handle at David Feldman on Twitter, or you can come to my website, David Feldman, D-O-V-I-D, Feldman.com. And I do counseling for couples and individuals all over the world via phone, Zoom, in person, based out of Chicago. So yeah, let's get started. So recently in my practice, whether it's been online or over the phone or in person, I have seen a lot of my clients struggling with the dichotomy of whether or not they should be giving to their partners unconditionally, or whether they should have expectations. And it's like really interesting to talk to people, anybody, you can have this conversation with anybody about this topic, because so many people have different opinions about it. And those opinions are oftentimes sourced in so many different ways. Like, some people have this religious belief that we're supposed to unconditionally love, like Mother Teresa. Or some people have more practical views of relationships, where it's like, well, you know, I'm not giving if they're not giving, right? Some people try to find a balance, and some people just don't know what to do. They just know something's wrong and they're not exactly sure what's wrong. And they don't know how to solve the problem. So sometimes unconditional love becomes part of the answer, right? We just kind of maybe love bomb our partner without expecting anything in return. Or maybe we set boundaries and decide that we're not going to give as much. Or maybe we share expectations. All of this is in an effort to create the symbiotic loving relationship in our marriage or in our long-term relationship with our partner. And it can get really confusing. You know, we oftentimes get tripped up on what is our philosophy? What is our approach? What's the best approach? How do we handle this? It would be nice if relationships were so easy and straightforward. And we just had a formula that just kind of gave us the simple and easy path to lifelong bliss and harmony, right? But as some of my friends on here, like Elizabeth know or Gabe knows, it just doesn't work that way, unfortunately. We have to make efforts and we have to try on new things. So I wanted to address this issue of, do we approach a relationship, a healthy relationship, with the attitude of, I'm going to give unconditionally? Or do we look at it more like, well, I'm going to give and I expect to receive in return? Which one's the healthier approach and which one works the best? Okay, so that's the question for today. And again, anybody who has their own thoughts on it, please scribble those down or write them on your computer or however, because I would love your input as soon as I'm kind of finished. So the first thing that I want to, first way I want to approach is let's make some definitions. What is unconditional love? What does that mean? Okay, so we can talk a lot about that, but I came up with 4 points that I think help define what is unconditional love. The first one is giving with no expectation in return. Okay, so the first definition of unconditional love is that we give to our partners with not expecting anything coming back, right? We just kind of will be this fountain of love and kindness and maybe words or affirmations or affection with no expectations of receiving in return. Okay, so that's the first part of it. The other aspect of unconditional love is giving with only thinking of the other, right? So when I give, I'm not thinking about my own needs. I'm only thinking about what is it that that person needs. How can I make this person the most happy? That's part of In my definition, that's part of unconditional love. Okay? Another aspect that usually accompanies unconditional love is the willingness to sublimate my needs in order to support and fulfill your needs. Right? That would be another aspect of unconditional love. So that I'm willing to even forego, let's just say that I want to go to the baseball game and you want to go to the movies. Part of loving unconditionally would be that I'm willing to sublimate and subjugate my needs in order to fulfill your needs. Okay? And a fourth aspect of unconditional love is that by very definition, we don't keep any score, right? There's no score keeping. So it's not like, because I did this for you, there's no tit for tat. Because I did this for you, so you should do this back for me. Okay? So I feel that if you fulfill these four criteria, that would mean that you're a pretty good unconditional lover. And for those who just entered, I'll just read them off real quickly. I won't describe them anymore. But number one, giving with no expectation in return. Giving with only thinking of the other. Willing to sublimate or subjugate my needs or nullify my needs in order to support and fulfill your needs. And the fourth aspect of unconditional love is that we're not keeping any score. Okay? Good. So that's what unconditional love is. So the question is, is this a proper approach to loving our partner? Right? Obviously, there's a lot of pluses to this. There's a lot of beauty in this, and that it's true giving. Right? This is just a fantastic way of letting your partner know how important they are to you, and making it clear that you're prioritizing them and you're prioritizing the relationship. You're sacrificing for your partner, right? You're not hindering your partner with expectations of something in return, right? You're clearly making it obvious that your giving is not a business transaction. This is not transactional, right? I'm going to have sex with him so that he takes out the garbage later on. Hopefully you have higher standards than that, even if you are doing it transactionally. But whatever it is, it's we're just giving to our partner because they have a need, they have a desire, they have a wish, they have a want. And we want to genuinely fulfill that just for the sake of fulfilling that, no matter what cost it comes to us. What a beautiful thing, right? That's just such a beautiful thing. Okay, good. So that is one way of being in a intimate, connecting relationship. Okay, now let's take a look at the other way. So to contrast that, what would it mean to say mutual giving and receiving? Right. So let's just say, the unconditional love is just like more than I'm willing to do. I'm no saint. This isn't going to work for me. So what's plan B? Right. So plan B in this spaces, I'm sure there's more than one, but what we're talking about here is the idea of mutual giving and receiving. What is that? What does that look like? Okay. So I have a definition of that as well. Okay. So when we approach our relationships where we expect both sides to be giving and receiving, we express our wants and needs and expect them to be fulfilled to the best of our abilities. So in such a relationship, it's not just that I give, but I am also expressing what it is that I want in the relationship. And with expectations that, to the best of my partner's ability, that will be given importance and prioritization, right? So we also give with the expectation that if we're going to be giving, the other person's going to be giving as well, right? We don't want a one-sided, we're not okay with a one-sided relationship, right? we also don't feel like we want to sublimate or subjugate our needs on a regular basis. So for instance, I'm okay with, if I want the basketball game and you want to go to the movies, I'm okay with doing it this weekend, but I'm not okay with doing that every weekend in a row, right? At some point, you're going to have to come with me to the basketball game, because otherwise it's going to be, quote unquote, unfair, right? So that would not be unconditional giving. That would be giving with the expectation of some sort of quid pro quo, right? Part of this is that both of us give and receive. So if I find myself exerting myself for the sake of the relationship, there's a piece of me which is looking at you a little bit and having expectations that you're going to be putting in close to the same amount into the relationship as myself. Right? So on some level, we're keeping score. So as opposed to unconditional love, where we don't keep score, when we have what's called a mutual giving and receiving, there is a piece of us that is keeping score, right? So I just had a client recently, a couple days ago, and you know, he was in a relationship where he felt like it was totally one-sided, you know, where he would keep giving and giving and making all these changes. Right. This is usually sometimes I get clients that come to me and it's like the man and the woman are both like, oh my gosh, we have to make this relationship better. Let's all work together as like this three-way to increase intimacy and connection in our relationship. Those are usually the best situations. But unfortunately, a lot of times what happens is only one person comes to me, which is fine. And it's kind of like I have to kind of work with them and kind of through them to get to their partner. So in this particular situation, this gentleman came to me and, you know, his partner just felt like everything was fine and wasn't willing to make any changes, right? So one of the things that he said to me, which I thought was insightful for himself, is like, he said, I don't mind being the one who makes 70% of the changes and you making and her making 30% of the changes. I don't even mind it being 80-20. He says, but it can't be 95-5. That's not going to work for me, right? So that was his situation that he was in. Maybe some people here have been in those type of situations too. You know, you can think about that, and I'd love to hear from you. You know, maybe you can, you know, request to speak at some point and share how that affected you, or if you were in such a situation like that and what you did about it. Right. So that's what mutual giving and receiving looks like. Right. So another example of this, just to give you an example of how this mutual and receiving. So, you know, mutual giving and receiving could be like, you know, if I'm going to be putting out a certain amount of effort in certain ways in the relationship, I expect you to do the same. So I remember this one story of a guy who, you know, he grew up in a home where every time he would leave the house or come in the house, he would say goodbye. And then when he left, so he made sure to say goodbye. And then when he would come back in, he expected that whoever was home would greet him. It doesn't mean that they have to show up with a martini in their hand for him after he came home from work, although that would have been nice. But he expected some sort of ignite. He didn't want to walk into a house full of people and not have anybody say anything to him, not be greeted. He felt that was just, you know, too uncomfortable for him. So he expressed his need, and he used to be very strict on that. So when other members of the home, whether it's specifically his wife, he would make sure that as she was leaving, if she said goodbye, he said goodbye also. If he was around, he'd give her a hug and kiss, whatever it was. And when she came home, he'd be sure to, you know, if he had to get up from this computer and go greet her at the door, come home from work or something like that, where certainly if she was carrying groceries or anything like that, he would, you know, go out and help, whatever. And, but he wasn't getting it in return, right? It didn't make a difference how much he shared his need with his partner. She was a great wife in many other ways, no question about it. He wasn't contemplating divorce or anything like that. But this was something that really bothered him. You know, it's not like it only happened once a week. I mean, it was something that was happening every day. So every day it would get under his skin. And he eventually decided, he says, you know what, this is important to me, but it's obviously not important to her. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to stop doing it. He viewed his relationship as very mutual and reciprocal based. So he said as follows. He says, I think this is good for the relationship, and I'm willing to do it to be strict on greeting and receiving each other, but I'm only willing to do that if you're willing to do that too. I'm not willing to have a relationship where I'm the only one that says goodbye, and I'm the only one that greets you at the door, and then when I walk in, when I leave, it's dead silence, and when I walk in, there's nobody there to greet me. I'm not willing to have that type of relationship. So that's an example of somebody kind of focusing on the mutual aspect. If he was more unconditional, I would assume what he would do is just continue doing it because she really appreciated it and she liked that, but she was unwilling to do the same in return. If he was looking at it from unconditional love, he'd just say, you know what, whatever, you know, I'm going to let this go. I'm just going to continue doing this. It makes no difference to me. I just want to take care of her without regards for myself. The end of that story, by the way, is after he stopped doing that, it didn't take more than like a week before she got the message. And then all of a sudden she got much better at doing it. And she realized that, you know, if he stopped doing this, then this was going to be a huge loss for her. And so she upped her game, just as a side point. Okay, so what are the advantages and disadvantages? And I'm almost done, and then we're going to open the floor to everybody else's ideas. So I hope everyone's kind of thinking to themselves some things that they could share. So what are some of the advantages of what are some of the disadvantages of unconditional giving, right? It's when we first talk about it, it seems like, wow, like everybody should give unconditionally, right? Who wants to keep score? Who wants to be thinking about what they're getting in return when they're giving, right? Who wants to be looking at their partner like that? Who wants any type of flavor of transactional relationship? Ugh, yuck. Right? Okay, but so what are some of the disadvantages though? Are there any downsides to giving unconditionally? Okay, well, how about this? People who end up giving unconditionally oftentimes can get burnt out. As much as we'd like to be Mother Teresa, we're not. Most of us are not. I certainly am not, that's for sure. We get burnt out, right? Because if it's a one-way ticket, then it's exhausting, right? We can build up resentment. That's number two, right? Because if we're always subjugating or sublimating or nullifying our needs for the needs of our partner, we can feel resentful, you know? Another thing is we can just give up. People who take on this mission of giving unconditionally, it doesn't last for very long in my experience. They just can't. It's really, really hard. So while in theory, it seems to be like a great idea and it's a beautiful way of being in relationship, in practice, it's very difficult to maintain. Okay, so that would be one reason why unconditional giving as a modus operandi in relationships may be really difficult. Okay. How about the maybe we should go to the side of mutuality. Well, there's disadvantages of being mutual, of being in a mutual relationship as well. Number one, when we decide that we want what's called a mutual relationship, then we are having expectations. And everybody knows that expectations always lead to disappointment. Right? I mean, it's just, they should just make a hyphen in the word expectation right to the word disappointment, because it inevitably follows, right? And who wants to be disappointed with your spouse in your relationship, right? When we have a mutual relationship, we can be demanding, right? Hey, I did this for you. Why aren't you doing this back for me, right? Those are fighting words, right? We can also be resentful. Perhaps even more resentful, because that's the third one. We can also be resentful because maybe, you know, the fourth one is that we're keeping score. So if when we keep score, our scorecard shows 90 to us and 10 to them, we're going to be resentful. And also, who likes to keep score in your relationship? That sucks, right? And then finally, another point is that when we go into a mutual relationship, we give with the expectation to get back, right? So there's that flavor to all of our giving. There's that taint that that can be felt by our partner. We're giving, but they should just know that because we did this for them, so there's a price to pay, which also sucks. So we're back to square one. We see the benefits of unconditional love. We see the benefits of the mutual, because it kind of keeps things going. You know, you get our needs met and our expectations are voiced. But we see the disadvantages to both as well. So I want to talk about an article, the first article that I ever wrote on my blog called Giving Gone Bad. The first article, if you go to my blog, www.devinfeldman.com/blog, you scroll all the way to the bottom. It was the first article I wrote back in 2016. And I learned this from a coach. I cite him over there, really great guy. And he describes three different types of relationships. And the reason this is important, so whoever is still with me and listening, just pay attention to this, because I think this will help bring a lot of clarity to a lot of our relationships in life in general. It's very meaningful to me, and I think it's very helpful. So I'm going to very briefly, I'll explain the three different types of relationships that we find ourselves in. And of course, you can break relationships down to thousands of ways, but these are the three ways he broke it down for the sake of this topic. He says that in life in general, we have three different types of relationships. The first one is what's called a receiving relationship. Okay, all of us have experienced all three of these. So a receiving relationship would be like a student from a teacher. Right? It is expected that the teacher is going to give and the student is going to receive. A child to a parent, right? That's the job of a parent. Reeves just had a beautiful parenting, fatherhood space. Anybody can go check that out. Reeves, if that was pretty awesome. I listened in for a little bit. And it's obvious there from Reeves and the other gentleman that he was speaking with that a father is the giver and the child is the receiver. How about a clergy member to his or her congregation, right? That's definitely, you're not there to influence the clergyman. You're there to receive from the clergyman, right? Or a customer, right? The customer's always right. Right? So when you go into a restaurant, the relationship, and I granted that you're paying in that situation, but still, the relationship is from the restaurant staff to the customer, right? And then I'll just give you one more example. But when you hire somebody, like let's say a therapist, such as myself, right? Let's say you come to me and you pay me my fee to tell me all your problems, hoping that I can fix everything, right? So can you imagine if you paid me and I sit there telling you about my problems? Right? Like, that's crazy. Right? You're the receiver. I'm the giver. So you're the one who we're supposed to be paying attention to. So that's the first type of relationship we have in life. Okay? Now, the second type of relationship that we've all experienced in life is a giving relationship where we're not the receiver, but we're the giver. Right? So what would that be? If to put the opposite side. If you're the parent, right, or if you're the professional, maybe you're a dentist, or you're the doctor, or you are the elder, or you're the expert in your field, right? So you become the giver, and the other people become, maybe you're the volunteer at a church or wherever you might at an animal shelter or whatever you an orphanage. You become the giver, and they become the receiver. Right? And then there's a third type of relationship, which I like to think is more like a marriage, which is a mutual relationship, where there's an understood balance of giving and receiving. I'll give you some examples of that. Obviously, I just said a marriage, so that would be a spouse. Another example, that would be a coworker, right? Let's say you have a partner that you're doing something with at work, right? You're not taking on their workload for them. Obviously, if they substitute, if they ask you to cover for them on this weekend, it's almost an understood given that you have the coupon, so to speak, to cash in at some future time where they'll cover you on a weekend that you need off, right? So it's a mutual relationship. You know, we have good friends, right? But just because you're my friend doesn't mean that I can ask you to pick up my dry cleaning for me every week in a row, right? With no reciprocation of that deed. You're not, this is not a giving relationship where my friend becomes my giver. It's a mutual relationship. Okay, but if that's the case, it's a mutual relationship, and that would be where there's a balance of giving and receiving. How do we get out of the problem that we mentioned before, that being in a mutual relationship comes with it all those negatives of expectations and maybe being demanding and also getting resentful because you're giving more than them? And this is something I want to share. It's an idea that I came up with, which I think has been very beneficial to myself and to my clients. That when you're in a marriage, you start out with the concept of mutuality. I know that maybe there's some Christians here that doesn't sit well with them, and I can respect that, okay? I know that in Torah law, in Jewish law, there are literally legal obligations that the husband has to the wife and that the wife has to the husband. So we don't have this idea of unconditional giving. There are actual legal obligations. So there are things that we have to do for each other. But the idea is that we start out with a commitment of mutuality. We recognize that we are not going to be a receiver only, and we are not going to only be a giver. We're going to be in a mutually giving and receiving in a relationship. And within that, we behave unconditionally. So once the framework is set up, that there's an understood dynamic where your needs are important and my needs are important, right? And that we are not going to be losing ourselves to take care of only one side, right? But that if my partner expresses a need, that needs to be heard. And if I express a need, that needs to be taken seriously. That's a mutual relationship. I have expectations. Yes, I do. And so do you. And I want to honor your expectations, and you want to honor my expectations. But within that dynamic, we're giving to each other unconditionally. I'm not keeping score, right? I'm not keeping track of how many times I took care of your needs. I know that you're concerned about my needs, and you're doing your best to make sure that what's important to me becomes important to you. I trust you on that. And vice versa. You trust me that when you share something that's important to you, that I'm going to prioritize that and take it seriously. And within that framework, which is rock solid, there's unconditional love and giving. So this doesn't solve all the problems. I wish I had a magic wand that I could just wave over all my clients, right? And just ta-da, everything's just fine. But I think it's a healthy framework that kind of combines the best of both worlds and allows each of us to show up in confidence that this relationship is going to be something that I can invest in, and that at the same time going to be something that I can feel seen, heard, respected, and prioritized as well. Okay. As I like to say, enough lecture for today. I'd love to have anybody here who's been thinking of saying something join us for, maybe they want to say something. My good friend Elizabeth is here. I always love what she has to say. Reeves, I always appreciate your wisdom. Ridiculous.
You can call me Rick, by the way.
Oh, cool. Hi, Rick.
Yeah. So unconditional love is something that I've been thinking a lot about for a couple months. And of course, I've been married for almost 6 years now, and learning about that through the process of being married has been challenging. And I think the biggest obstacle in learning to unconditionally love someone is that you have to grow and change. And that is an extraordinarily painful process most of the time.
I'd like to hear about the few times that it's not painful, because I haven't experienced that part yet.
I haven't either. I just, you know, I don't like to speak in absolutes too much.
Oh, yeah, totally. I mean, that's unconditional love comes with its challenges, you know, and that's kind of what sacrifice in relationship is all about. You know, that's where we grow the most, like you said, and oftentimes right. That's when our partner feels the most loved as well, for sure. And
well, and it's also something that I've found incredibly difficult to understand, because I don't think I ever necessarily encountered unconditional love until I was like 19 years old.
Uh-huh.
You know, and I met somebody when I went off to college, and he's been my best friend ever since. And I think he was the first person in my life that really just accepted me, even with all my flaws.
I see. Interesting. Your roommate, you said.
He ended up being a roommate at some point, but we were both trumpet players in the marching band, you know.
Uh-huh. Cool. Okay, so that's nice that at least you had some experience of that. That's for sure. That's beautiful. And
right.
What did that look like?
He always was there for me, even if I was maybe not being so nice to him sometimes. Of course, you know, teenage boys will do that, kind of lash out at each other a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't really ever seem to take it personally. And he was always there for me, and we really developed a really special friendship.
Cool. Yeah, for sure. So yeah, I'm pretty impressed that this is a challenge that you're taking on in your marriage. And as you grow in marriage, unconditional love becomes more and more important. You know, your ability to love. And like I said before, what I find that works the best is that there's a framework for that unconditional love, because unconditional love without any boundaries spirals completely out of control. And what we want to do, in my opinion, is we want to set up an understanding that we're both in this and we're both going to give to each other. And at the same time, within the walls of our boundaries and our expectations, which should be somewhat reasonable, we behave unconditionally. You know, and that's, to me, that's the most beautiful, where it's like you have the freedom to not keep score and not keep track, and you with the confidence that whatever needs you express may not be exactly the way you want them, but will get addressed. So yeah, cool. Thanks for sharing that, Rick. I appreciate that. Yeah, we're going to let Elizabeth speak a little bit here. Let's see if I can.
Hi
Liz.
Sorry. It's okay? I keep getting kicked from Twitter Spaces. My Wi-Fi's been kind of funky all day, so it's probably me. But I'll try to speak and kicked. That's fine. So something that I love this conversation, and I think like I kind of probably come from the opinion that I like the idea of doing things with unconditional love and trying to think to myself, like, am I doing this because I love my partner and I want to do this thing for him? Or am I doing this because my husband's smiling at me because I just made him some eggnog. And that was an act of unconditional love. It's not because I expect anything in return.
It's very but good.
Yeah. Yeah, like I love that idea, and I really try to live by it, but I definitely think it's naive to believe that as just like people, we inherently don't do things sometimes even subconsciously with the hope that we'll receive something in return. Having said that, like kind of how I like to envision unconditional love and how I try to really practice it in my relationship is more so like the more commonly used way definition of it, right? So like knowing that I'll unconditionally stand by my partner no matter what, that has nothing to do with necessarily what I receive in return. I'm always going to stand by his side, and I'm always going to support him, you know, through whatever we're dealing with, whatever he's dealing with. And that, in that regard, unconditional love exists entirely in our relationship. And then with things that are perhaps more superficial, like act of service or doing things for each other, those things are kind of with this subconscious mentality of like, I'm going to try to do things unconditionally, but it's okay if I occasionally expect things that in return, not necessarily the same act of love, but something in return to make me feel like I'm my partner's equal and he cares for me as much as I care for him. Because I think that's what this conversation kind of comes down to, is the feeling of like, I don't feel like my partner thinks of me as much or cares about me as much, or, you know, those kinds of thoughts. And I think that is where it can spiral into kind of a danger zone. And it's hard, really hard, to not feel like that if your partner's not reciprocating some kind of acts of love in whatever way that they do that. So, yeah.
Wow, yeah, I love what you just said. And let me see if I got that straight. Certainly somebody else can comment on that as well. But what I thought I heard you say, which I really appreciate, and something I realized I needed some clarity on, is that it almost sounds like you're saying that there's like this kind of surrounding unconditional love to the relationship as a whole, and that you unconditionally love your partner no matter what they're going through, no matter what challenges they're facing, no matter what challenges your relationship is facing. You have this overarching unconditional relationship, unconditional love, but that within the realm of giving, that you try to love and give unconditionally, but that's unrealistic. And sometimes we do need to have our expectations filled. Otherwise, we fall into this trap of feeling that we're unloved or that we're not prioritized or that we mean less to our partner. Is that basically what you just said?
Yes, spot on, David.
Okay. All right, good. Yeah. No, I really like that. I like that. Yeah, that's a different way of looking at it. That's definitely a different way of looking at it. So it's almost like you can have both. So it's like you have this unconditional love, and that's the foundation of your relationship. And then there's within that, there's, hey, we're on the team. We're on a mission trying to get something done. We're going places together. We're building a family and buying a house. And I need everybody to put in their best effort. And as much effort as I'm putting in, I'm kind of looking at the corner of my eye, hoping that you'll do the same. Basically, this isn't a one-man show over here. Good. One of the reasons why relationships do come into some problems is because we run into this wall of our needs not being met, and we don't know how to handle that with our partner. And I find this very commonly, you know, it's probably one of the worst parts of doing relationship counseling is when I run into a partner that says, I don't feel the need to change. I usually find that when I run into a situation like that, I can tell that this is going to be a rocky road. You know, when I find that a partner is having difficulty with change or doesn't know how to change, then I feel so relieved, right? Because that's something that we can fix, you know. But when I run into a partner that basically digs their heels in or just doesn't understand why it's important, why can't you, quote unquote, and this rolls right into another big topic that people like to talk about. I want to be loved for who I am, right? Why don't you just love me for who I am? Right? Everybody wants to be accepted for the way they show up in life. And me too, right? I also want to be accepted. I wish that I was accepted just for me being me. But when you're in a relationship, it doesn't work that way. You know, you being you gets you in the front door, right? But that's not what's going to carry you through 30 years or 50 years of building a family and a relationship and the trials and tribulations of life. No way. That's just the start, right? We have to realize that in real life, we're not accepted for who we are. None of us. Right? We are part of something which is bigger than just me as David Feldman. Right, and that's the commitment I'm making to my partner. I'm making a commitment to my partner that this journey that we're taking together, I am going to rise to the occasion and change. Right? Change is like the most difficult concept for us. I remember once when I was in school, I met with one of my rabbis, and he said to me, he said, how do you like school? How do you like this college, this rabbinical college? So I told him, I said, I think it's fantastic. I'm really growing as a person, and I'm really, you know, learning new things, and I'm growing, and I'm, you know, I've advanced in so many areas. So he stopped me and he says, you're growing? And I said, yeah, I'm growing. He said, and that's a good thing? I looked at him with a shock on my face. I said, I thought it was a good thing, right? Who doesn't want to grow as a person? So he says to me, he said, David, let me tell you something. I said, okay. He goes, you got your big boy pants on? And I said, he's a very direct person. So I said, yeah. He says, nobody wants you to grow, David. Why not? Nobody wants you to grow because growing just means more of you. What we really want is for you to change, to be better today than you were yesterday. And that, like, when he said that to me, I, like, totally floored, right? And growing is like, I know we all use that colloquially to mean that we're getting better and improving, but I really loved the way he said that because, you know, growing implies that there's an amplification of who I am, which is nice. There's nothing wrong with that really, but change implies that I'm becoming different today than I was yesterday. And that's really what your spouse needs from you. That's what a marriage needs from each and every one of us, right? We need to be different today than we were yesterday. What was our limitations yesterday are no longer our limitations today. What bothered me yesterday is no longer what bothers me today. What I got upset about yesterday, I've let go of today. I'm not the same person. I'm not just bigger than what I was yesterday. I'm different, right? And that's part of what we have. These are part of the expectations we have of our partners when we get married. So, you know, the idea is, why can't you just love me for who I am? When I run into that in therapy, it's kind of like, I feel like we need to start from the very beginning. Like, in the beginning, there was, God created heaven and earth. Like, we have to go all the way back to the beginning to give, like, a brand new education of what the purpose of this whole thing is about. And that's very important for us to realize that when we get into a marriage, when we get into a long-term relationship, you know, especially if you're a man, you just have to understand that it's not going to be very long before the whole laundry list of things that you need to improve upon is going to be shoveled your way. And it's going to be part of staying in the relationship, so much so that if a man doesn't improve in a relationship, that's one of the entire downfalls of the relationship. And a guy can be scratching his head and said, well, she loved me 2 years ago and I was exactly the same way. And it's like, yeah, that's the problem. That was 2 years ago, and today you're exactly the same way. And many men don't understand that because for us, we're just fine the way we are. And actually, there's a joke. So it's like, well, we wish she would stay the same way she was 2 years ago. Right? Everybody's probably heard that joke. You know, men marry hoping that women marry hoping that they're going to change their husbands. Men marry that they're hoping that their wives will stay the same. And they both do that. You know, the man doesn't change and the woman doesn't stay the same. I kind of butchered that. Maybe somebody else who knows it better could say it. But the bottom line is that, you know, we have to realize that, you know, that we can get some unconditional love like Elizabeth was talking about, but ultimately we have to step up to the plate, all of us, to show up for our partner in a way of contributing to the relationship that goes well beyond what we originally signed up for.
Hi there, David. I just wanted to say thank you for your spaces that you're doing. It's been very educational for me as a young man. That's all I've literally got to say, so thank you.
Of course, of course. You're very welcome, Babyface. I appreciate it. Appreciate it very much. And Rick, did you want to share something?
Yeah, I did remember what I was going to say. It's, I once heard someone say, something along the lines of there are certain people that I can only love at a distance, and I would rather love them at a distance than resent them too close to my life.
Yeah, that definitely makes sense for sure. You know, and that's tough because that just shows some of the limitations that we have. You know, sometimes I see a lot of, especially on Instagram, you know, if the person can't meet me where I'm at, then they're not for me, you know, or they're not the one or something like that. And it's just such a, you know, what can I get out of the relationship type approach? Sure. You know, I'm more for, you know, if the person can't meet you where you're at, then why don't you move where you're at to be closer to the person? You know, like,
it's a matter of timing and how long that process takes and all sorts of other complicated things, I think.
For sure, yeah. So, yeah, we definitely walk a tightrope here, for sure.
But then I was wondering if you could say a few words about the difference between placing conditions on love and setting boundaries within a relationship.
Sure, yeah, I can. I'll give you a 2-minute thing. Now, first of all, you should just know, you may have been there already, but I did have a whole spaces on boundaries. And if anybody wants to see any of my spaces, or I'm sorry, listen to any of them, they're all on Spotify. You can just search for David Feldman on Spotify, and everything's there, or on Apple or any of those podcasts. So they're all there. And because I take all these, I'm recording them, as you can see, and then I convert them into podcasts. I kind of weed out all the chaff, and then I put them up there. So they're not as long, but all the comments and everything are there. In any case, to understand boundaries in general are things that are ways or behaviors that I won't tolerate or behaviors that I won't engage in. So boundaries is more of a negative, boundaries is more of something that like is a negative fence that you're putting around your own behavior or around the behavior of others towards you. Okay. And then I would say that, you know, placing conditions on love, I wouldn't look at that so much as a boundary, as more of a positive expectation. Meaning, this is what I expect in love. This is how I do want to be treated, not how I don't want to be treated. So I can't have a boundary that says, you know, we're going to have a thriving intimate life. That's my boundary. That's not a boundary. That's an expectation. So the way we show up is a combination of having expectations of love and conditions on love and setting boundaries of things that I want and I need, and then also things that I cannot do or won't be treated in that way. Is that kind of clarifying things a little bit, or did I?
Yeah, I probably need to think about that on my own for a little while, but I think I get the gist of it.
Cool.
Okay. I think that when I contemplate unconditional love, one of the things that I think about are the seasons that our relationships go through, and some seasons require more than others. And from what I've noticed, people kind of get stuck into how things were yesterday, when yesterday is a different season than today is, right? And so their expectations change, or their expectations remain the same when they should be changing. And so then their perception of the love from their partner is skewed because of the shift in life. So when life shifts and you don't shift with it, you know, that kind of can affect the way that you perceive your partner or your partner perceives you. So I just wanted to kind of like mention that it's hard to always remember the seasons of life that we're in, you know, and you should be loving each other through those seasons of life. But I think it's fair to sit down and kind of like assess what season of life am I in right now? Should my expectations be changing? Should my perception be changing? And, you know, not that my love should be diminished, but what is expected of me may increase, or what I should expect from my spouse should increase or lower, you know. So just wanted to throw that out there. I think everybody should pay attention to the seasons of life that you're in and how that connects to the love within your relationship.
Oh, I think that's so important. And thank you so much for sharing that, for sure. Yeah, that's a great way of viewing relationships and the life cycle of a marriage. You know, obviously, when you're first married and it's just you and her, you know, your expectations are going to be totally different than when the first baby's on the way, or when you're both trying to get your careers up and running, or when the fifth baby's on the way, you know, or in my case, as we're getting older, you know, maybe somebody's gone through menopause, or somebody has, heaven forbid, somebody could have a health issue. And I think that's beautiful, this idea that unconditional love is kind of what helps guide you and get you through these different seasons, and having a consciousness of how you need to show up differently during those different life cycles. So awesome. Yeah, that's terrific. Terrific. Good for you. Thank you for sharing that. It was very important. Yeah, I mean, the dichotomy that we face between unconditional giving and mutual fulfillment of our needs is just something which is follows us throughout our whole life cycle, our whole life of the relationship. And as Reeves was saying, you know, that's going to change for you over time. I know that in my situation, my wife was a stay-at-home mom for many, many years. We had, thank God, 6 kids. And so she was at home with the kids. And then all of a sudden, you know, as our youngest were kind of on their way to school and going into high school, she just popped up one day and said, I'm becoming an author, and I'm going to write a book, and I'm going to become this coach, and I'm going to become a healer. And that was a little different for me, because I had a stay-at-home mom as my wife. You know, she was always available, always at home, always taking care of everything. And then all of a sudden she showed up as this working woman, and I had a hard time with that transition. It wasn't easy for me, you know, because it's like things that normally she would do for me and the family and the household, she says, you know, she's working now. And I'm like, what do you mean you're working? Like, I'm working. What do you mean you're working? You know? So that wasn't easy for me to stretch myself in that way, but you know, it took time, and I changed, and I rose to the occasion. And now she has, you know, now she's basically, you know, does whatever she needs to do to get, you know, whatever she can do in the house, as well as with the kids, and as well as her job. You know, she's always put her kids and family first, but yeah, there was a lot of areas that I had to grow in order to accommodate and to treat her respectfully with her, and respect her space with regards to this. So yeah, definitely things change over time, you know, and we need to stretch ourselves to meet those challenges that we face. Well, listen, it's coming upon an hour that we've been chatting, and I really have appreciated everybody's participation and contribution. This is an important topic. You can always find all of my spaces, like I said earlier, on my website, davidfeldman.com. You can just click on Twitter Spaces. It's on the menu. Or you can go to Spotify or Apple Podcasts and just search in my name, and all of the spaces that we've had in the past will show up. And yeah, I appreciate everybody's participation. And till next time, you know, the main thing is just to leave off on a positive note that showing up for your partner is the most important part of the relationship. And whether it's unconditional or whether it's, you know, having a little bit of your needs, you know, having your needs expressed, it's all good. It's all good. Let me give the king a chance to contribute. Yes. Did you want to share something?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Can you hear me? Yeah.
Yes.
I was coming in and out, but I know you're closing out, but I just want to share a quote just to part with you and everybody else. And that quote goes this way: the most precious possession that ever comes to a man in this world is a woman's heart.
Beautiful.
And there's one more thing. A pride is a universal sin. It looks side to side to see who is wrong or who is right, rather than looking up to see what is right. Thank you very much.
Beautiful. That's a very important point. So I appreciate that, King, very much for sharing that. And I agree. The most precious gift that I have, I know, is the heart of my wife and my kids. as well as we need to learn to remove pride from our own hearts in order to be better partners to the ones that we love. So God bless everybody and have a great day, and we'll see you on the next one. Take care.